Father, thank you for the gift of your word, and thank you that you've given us gifts as teachers to bring your word. And Father, we thank you for this special moment, special day today, and your special presence here. Father, we receive Roland as a gift to us, and it's a gift to the body of Christ. But Father, we receive your word today. Breathe the spirit of wisdom and revelation upon everyone here. Let everyone have the ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. Awaken our hearts, O God. Strengthen us with power and might inside. Father, let every area of our lives be strengthened, mentally, emotionally, and physically, every part of us. Father, come and prepare our hearts for where you're leading us as your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Roland.
Thank you. I want to read from Matthew 14. Verse 22. This talk I want to give this morning is on the walk of faith. We have been fed already wonderfully, richly. I hope this will add a bit more. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. This was immediately after the Lord Jesus had just fed 5,000 people. Men, plus the woman and the children. It must have been a huge crowd. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. That's the Sea of Galilee. While he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they had got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." A little while ago, I spoke about another storm. There were two storms on the Lake of Galilee in which the Lord was present. And in the first storm, the Lord was actually in the boat. And there was a tremendous storm. And the disciples were very, very afraid. And I believe it was the devil's attempt to destroy the Lord and the disciples, because they were going across to the other side to do a great miraculous work. They woke Jesus up. And Jesus stood up and he said, "Peace, be still." And everything came to a standstill. He stopped the storm. In this storm, the Lord Jesus was not in the boat. The disciples were there in the boat, but the Lord was not. And neither did the Lord stop the storm. Immediately after feeding the 5,000, well, it must have been a much larger crowd of people than that. It was late, and so Jesus sent the disciples before him. They got into a boat and they left early, well, I suppose later in the evening or afternoon. And the Lord Jesus went up alone to a mountain to pray. And he spent a long time on that mountain praying. In the meantime, the disciples were on the lake and they were caught in this ferocious storm. Lake Galilee is renowned for the violent storms that can come very, very quickly. But there was no sign of a storm when they left. Everything was calm. And in fact, the distance they were going to travel wasn't really all that far after all. But suddenly this great storm was whipped up. It says there was a great wind. And these disciples were totally alone and caught in this storm, and they battled most of the night. Because it was only in the fourth watch, which was early in the morning after 3 a.m. So for a good long time, many hours, they battled in this little boat on the lake in the middle of this terrible storm. They were exhausted. The one translation says they had been tormented. The wind was contrary to them. So every time they were just battling to stay on top. They were rowing for hours and getting nowhere, absolutely nowhere. They were blown off course. There was a danger the boat could sink in that storm. Their lives were at jeopardy. They must have wondered, what on earth is going to happen? They must have wondered, what can we do? Who can help us? They were totally isolated. They were completely on their own. There were no speedboats to rescue them, no helicopters, no one could reach them. And they couldn't get off the water. Humanly speaking, it was an impossible situation. They didn't have a radio to radio for help. They knew the Lord could stop storms because they had seen that already. But the Lord wasn't with them. He wasn't there. Humanly speaking, this was an impossible situation. Really. Totally impossible. They were beyond help. Nobody could get out to help them. Have you ever been in that kind of situation where you have felt totally alone, battling against things that you can't overcome, in a situation you can't get through on your own, and there's no one to help you, and humanly speaking, it looks totally impossible? I don't know if you've ever been, have you ever felt like that? You may not have been on a storm, but in your own life, in your own circumstances, the things that life throws at you, sometimes unawares, suddenly, unexpected, you haven't planned for it. And suddenly, you are in the midst of a crisis. Have you? I think most of us can say that we have. Well, that's how they were. Grown men, totally alone, no one to help them. And the Lord was nowhere to be seen. Where was he? He was up the mountain praying. And he spent a long time praying there. Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, tells us that when he was up the mountain praying, he saw them. I don't know, humanly, I mean, the thing, there was a violent storm raging. It was dark, there was wind, there was spray. How did he see them? It says in Mark, verse 48, he saw them. He didn't have a GPS system. He didn't have binos. He was praying and he saw them. Let me tell you, God can see wherever you are. Really, wherever you are, whatever situation you're in, God is not far. You may not be able to see him. He can see you. You are never alone as a child of God. Never alone. Even when you think you are not alone. Don't limit God. There is nothing impossible for God. Don't ever limit him. Our minds limit God. God is not limited. God knows exactly where you are. And he's not really far from you. And Jesus must have just gone on praying. But he was well aware of what was happening out there. All the time he was well aware of it. And in the fourth watch, he must have been praying many things. He decided it was time. What did he do? He didn't parachute in. He didn't fly in, as we heard. He decided to walk to them. That's impossible. Yeah. We heard this morning, you cannot walk on water. There's a law of gravity. God's law, by the way. It's God's law. God's put it in place.
That's right.
You can't break that law. It's an impossible thing. You may have seen these magicians who, it's an illusion that they have. There's no one that can walk on water. It's an impossibility. You cannot break the law of gravity. That's impossible to walk on water. If you don't believe me, you can try. Jesus decided he was going to walk over there. It's nothing impossible for him. He didn't stop the storm. He could have, but he didn't. He decided to walk. He went to them to be with them in the storm. How did he do it? He just walked on the waves. God can reach you at any time, at any place, wherever you may be. You might think you are unreachable. No, you are not. The law of gravity could not stop the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a higher law. We heard that. There's a higher law. And the Lord Jesus, he put the higher law in place. He walked on the water. He overcame the law of gravity. How? Through a higher law. Another law. And he just walked out to them. There they were in the middle of the lake. In the middle of this horrendous, terrible, awful storm. This was a real crisis. The waves were raging, crashing on the boat. It says so. There must have been spray flying everywhere in the darkness. Probably they couldn't see far. The noise must have been tremendous. They were clinging onto the boat and trying to row. And all of a sudden, through this dark, misty, crashing waves, they saw a figure walking in the middle of the lake. figure is walking on the storm, coming towards them. And these disciples went to pieces. It says they became very afraid. They didn't know Jesus could walk on water. They thought it was a spirit. I mean, what else? It's impossible for anybody to walk on water. It's got to be some kind of spirit. They didn't know that Jesus could walk on water. They had seen him do lots of things. Very recently, they had seen him feed 5,000 people plus. They had seen him do incredible miracles. But somehow, it had not impacted them. This time, they were in the crisis. In Mark chapter 6, it says that the Lord Jesus made as if he would pass by them. Why did he do that, I wonder? You know, the Lord's always just testing us a little bit further. He likes to just stretch our faith. He likes to do that, beloved. Yeah, he likes it. He likes to stretch your faith. When he was risen from the grave, walking on the road to Emmaus, he drew near to these two disciples, so broken, despondent. They'd been right through the most horrendous situation. They'd seen their beloved Lord and Savior, Rabbi Master, die. For as he walked with them on the road, he told them the scriptures, opened their hearts. And when they came to Emmaus, he made as though he would continue walking. And they said, no, come in. He was just testing them a little bit, beloved. He loves to test us. Because when he does, he's able to bring out the best in us.
Amen.
And the disciples were so afraid. It says they began to cry out in fear. Man, they must have been afraid. But immediately, it says, the Lord Jesus responded. He says, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." That word there, actually, "it is I." In the original, what he said is, "I am." That's the name of God. The great I am. He said, "Do not be afraid. I am." He's right there with you. With them, in the midst of the storm. So now Peter responded, "Dear Peter, what a beloved man. What a great example to all of us. Peter," he says, "if it is you, command me to come on the water." Peter was asking the impossible. Just stop and think what he was asking. Yeah. You can't walk on water. It's an impossibility. But Peter's faith began to come alive. Yes. And he says, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come on the water." Yes. Man, this man has got faith, believe me. Hey, could you have done that? Peter was beginning to exercise his faith. And he began to believe for the impossible. He knew it was impossible to walk on water. But he believed if that was the Lord, and if the Lord commanded him, then he could walk on water. That's faith. That's faith, beloved. That's faith. Faith is both active and passive. There are times when it's got to be active, there's times when it's a passive faith. This, Peter began to put his faith into action now. He wanted to do something by faith. And he said, "Lord, if that's really you, command me to come." There he was, in the midst of this raging storm, standing on the water. immovable. The rock of ages. No storm. No storm can overwhelm Jesus. It doesn't matter what it is. In the midst of the storm, there he is standing in it, standing on the waves. And that's what Peter saw. And he said, Lord, if that's you, I want to come to you. And so Jesus called out to Peter, come. Just one word. Peter now had to get out of that boat. That boat was the only security he had in that place. That was the only natural security he had. Peter could swim. But if Peter got out of that boat, there was every possibility he could drown. Because that storm was a big storm. He didn't put on a life jacket. He didn't say, just hold on, Lord. I've got to put on my life jacket. No, he didn't do that. He let go of his security. Everything he was trusting in, everything he knew. He had to let go of it. And he had to get out of it. He had to get down from the boat. Let go of it. And launch out. Trusting only in Jesus. To do the impossible. To walk on water. That's what he did, beloved. I want to ask, what are you holding on to? What boat are you holding on to? There are many things in our lives, I believe, that we hold on to. I'm talking about myself as well. Things that hold us back because we're holding on to them. Sometimes we have to let go of things that we rely on. What are you relying on? If you're not relying on Jesus, it's not going to help you in the end. It doesn't matter whether it's money, your own strength and ability, whether it's the doctrines you believe in. We believe in Jesus, not doctrines. We believe in his power, not our own. I do think the Lord wants us to let go of the things that we have been trusting and relying upon and to launch out on the water by faith, trusting only in him. Peter's the only man I know who has ever walked on water. I don't know of anyone else apart from the Lord Jesus, of course. Peter actually walked on. We always say, oh, you know, he fell. Hang on now. No. He walked on the water going out to Jesus. He walked on it, walking on water. Hey, he can't. It's an impossibility. But he did it. He did it. He made a little mistake. Well, he took his eyes off Jesus and looked at the waves. As soon as he looked at the waves, he became afraid and he began to sink. Isn't that just so true? I don't know about you, of our experiences. Scripture says, fixing our eyes upon Jesus. There's only one place in today, in this time, in this world, at the present moment in history, where you and I can look. Don't look anywhere else.
Come on.
Don't look to men. Don't look to governments. Don't look to this or that. Look to Jesus. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Do not take your eyes off the Lord. It is imperative for you to fix your eyes on Jesus. And continue to keep him focused in your life. Thank God the story does not end there. No. Because as he began to fall, He did an amazing thing. He cried out, "Lord, save me!" And immediately Jesus was there. He stretched out his hand and he lifted him up and caught him. And Peter and Jesus, hand in hand, walked on the water together.
Hallelujah.
Think of it. Wouldn't you like to do that? Walking on the waves. Holding Jesus, holding you. Walking above the storm.
Come on.
Held in the mighty arms, hands of the Lord Jesus. I had an experience quite similar to that, but I didn't walk on water. But I know it works. Because I was in the midst of a raging river. And I can't tell you the story. But me and my friends, there was no human way we could have survived. And in those waves, we cry. And you know, when you're in a crisis like that, you don't think some nice prayer. Oh, Lord. You pray. And in that water, I can identify with Peter. I cried out, "Lord, save us!" And he did a miracle. I can't tell you about it. I didn't walk in water. I did the next best thing. The Lord saved us. Four of us in the water, we would have been drowned. This is why this whole story is so real to me. But it applies to every situation. You don't have to be in the middle of a lake on a storm, a raging, a literal storm. This is life.
Yeah.
Whatever situation you're in.
That's right.
The one thing it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yeah. Come on, hallelujah.
It's a certainty. Absolute certainty. And as Jesus picked him up, he said to him, "Oh, you of little faith." I thought he had quite a lot of faith. But Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith." And he asked him a question. Why did you doubt?
Yeah.
Folk, that's the question.
Come on.
That's the vital question. There are two laws. We were talking about them, our pastor, earlier. There are two laws. There's the law of faith and there's the law of doubt. And God cannot respond to doubt.
That's right.
Doubting is unbelief. It's a killer. It doesn't get us anywhere. I think that's why so often we struggle. Lord, it's my doubts. Remember that man came to Jesus and said, "Lord, please heal my child. I believe, but help me with my unbelief." And the Lord didn't condemn him for that. The Lord doesn't condemn us for that. He wants us to be strong in our faith. He wants to help us have faith. He wants us to overcome doubts. All things are possible if we believe.
Come on.
Nothing cancels gravity except the law of faith. The law of faith conquers everything. There is nothing impossible for you and the Lord Jesus, together, in faith. Nothing. When they got to the boat, it says, the wind ceased. And it says, they worshipped him. They worshipped him. There in the middle of the lake, they had a worship meeting. They worshipped the Lord. Worship means, the connotations of worship is, you bow down. And I tell you, that little boat became the center of worship for those disciples. There, in the middle of the sea. I tell you what, the more you worship, the more you worship the Lord in the middle of the storms, so the storms lose their power and they become less and less. And you become more and more aware of the Lord and his peace and power envelops you. Worship They worshipped him. You are the Son of God. Up until then, they had said he was the Messiah and other things. Now they said they knew you are the Son of God. And immediately, the next thing we read is that boat was immediately at their destination.
Yeah.
What? How amazing. Oh, I wish we could just grasp the miracle in this story, the miraculous things in this story. I believe, what can we learn from this? I believe this whole event, the Lord allowed it for one purpose, and that was to strengthen the faith of the disciples. You know, folk, we mustn't limit God. And I'm talking to myself. In our minds, in our prayers, we must not limit God. I have found that what Christians do, we box God in.
Come on.
And our boats become far too small to contain him in his power and his glory. We have too many doubts and limitations. The disciples never knew that Jesus could walk on water. Yes, he can do anything. Don't believe that when you hear that. That thing whispering in your mind saying, this is impossible. No one can help you. Nothing is impossible. When things go wrong, we so often react. Oh, why has this happened? You know what the answer is? It's to build your faith. Faith will always be tested. That's the nature of it.
Yeah.
You can't have faith if it's not tested. God will allow it to be tested. It might surprise you to know that one of the keys to building faith is trouble, adversity, and trial. We get a gospel today and it's, you know, believe in the Lord and wow, you're going to be wealthy and successful and, oh, you know. Well, I think all of us will have to learn how to walk on water.
That's right.
Because storms are going to come. They are coming. Let me tell you, we will be facing storms. We need a crash course in faith. Don't be surprised when things might happen in your life that test you and stretch you. Jesus encouraged people to have faith. He did things in order to build up their faith. My time is finished, but I could give you so many examples in the Gospels where the Lord Jesus said, did, directed people in order to build their faith. So, don't stop short of God's calling in your life. Don't stop short of what he's got planned for you. Don't stop short of the glory he's calling you to. Whatever you are facing and whatever the future holds, focus on Jesus.
Come on.
Fix your heart and mind on Jesus. And have faith